Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Growing up, people always used to ask me, what would you rather, dollars or cents? You know, growing up, I'm like, oh yeah, cents would be good. But after hearing a story about yet another mule coin which is in circulation, I'd rather dollars on this occasion.
What's a mule coin?
A mule coin is basically a coin from the mint which has some sort of imperfection on it. It's called a mule coin, and unlike, I guess, other mules, this one is seen in a much higher regard because the mule coins are usually worth actually quite a bit of money just for a little stuff-up. So let me just check if I've actually got... The latest one we're talking about this morning involves a dollar coin, so I work in radio.
So what sort of imperfections? Like, are we talking about there's, you know, a coin out there where Queen Elizabeth II is wearing a pair of sunglasses on it, or she's got her eyes closed for the portrait when they took the portrait. She's like, oh, that was a bad one. Why'd you put that on the coin?
Usually it's ones that are double-rimmed, so it's just obviously a problem with the press. I've just had a look in my wallet. Job. Bear in mind, I work in radio. I have $1.10, two 50-cent pieces and a 10-cent piece, so I'm out of the game when it comes to dollar coins. But if you've got a dollar coin out there from the year 2000, you could be sitting on quite a sizable amount of money, around about $4,000, they reckon. So this particular mule coin, which was minted in Perth at the Royal Mint, looks like it's a dollar coin, but it's got a bit of a hybrid between a dollar coin and a 10-cent piece as well. So someone stuffed up on the press.
So what's it worth?
It could be worth $4,000 to you.
Oh.
I know.
I was thinking they'd meet in the middle. It'd be like, you know, it's worth 50 cents or something.
But. So basically, it's one that's been double-rimmed. It's basically on the kangaroo side. They sort of stuffed up the kangaroo's tail and they ended up sort of printing a double rim on one side, something like that. So either way, like if you take a closer look at your dollar coin collection, you could be sitting on $4,000.
So you're saying potentially this double rimmed coin could be worth more than, say, a rare ushi?
Absolutely. Mm. And it's got more point to it as well.
Yeah.
I just like the fact that maybe there could be, like we hear so many of these recently. There's probably someone that's just sitting in a factory like 20 years ago. I was like, all right, time to start planning for your retirement. And just like, oh, sorry, guys, I stuffed up the press today. And then all of a sudden, 20 years later,
they pull it out, the defective coin, knowing it's worth more, maybe.
Yeah, so they reckon there's quite a few out there. So most of them, though, are in Perth, they're saying. So probably around about 6,000 mule coins could be out there in circulation.
Okay. Keep your eye out for them.
Exactly right.
Put that one through the vending machine.
When I just think of all the years, though, all the dollar coins that have slipped through my fingers all these years that I've just wasted, like getting a dollar's worth of frogs at the local corner shop or something like that, I could have been collecting the mule coins.
Mm.
So while I've been basically bled dry, I don't have any dollar coins to speak of, I reckon one guy could finish on top. I'm talking about this guy. He's got plenty of coins.
It's me, Mario.
Just call him the new Monopoly guy.
Yeah.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And poor Chris Evans was left red-faced after playing a game called Heads Up, which is a trivia game, I know.
Ironically.
The irony. And he uploaded this recording of him playing the game with some friends to his Instagram story. Didn't check it properly. At the end of the short video was a thumbnail featuring a part of his body that I'm sure he did not want to share with the entire internet. But someone snapped a screenshot. Next thing you know, everyone's seeing more of Chris than he wanted.
Some people say that sharing is caring, but in this instance,
no.
Not quite.
No. So 1-300-92-1250. We're looking for those cases of accidental nudity, whether you've accidentally shared a photo you shouldn't have, or maybe you've been in a position where clothes have
wardrobe just malfunction is the words.
That's
Janet
right.
Janet Jackson.
The most famous one of all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got Melinda with us from Wyndham. Morning, Melinda. What happened with you when it came to accidental nudity?
Oh, so I was at my first high school swimming carnival.
Oh, no.
Stupid me, wanting to fit in with everyone else, wore a bikini, and I love swimming, and I'm very competitive.
Oh, yeah?
Did backstroke, got halfway down the pool, and, I felt my swimmer top come up, and I literally just collapsed underwater and then swam underwater to the end.
Oh, so you're probably wondering why there was such a big cheer, even though you weren't leading the race. You're like, why is everyone cheering?
Pretty much.
Did you finish the race? How did you go?
No, I finished the race underwater and quickly swam out to the side.
Oh, no.
Shuffled sideways like a crab and left the water.
Pretty much.
So it was it went from backstroke to breaststroke all of a sudden when you're trying to cover up.
Yeah. Did you become a cult hero at the school after that, or?
I kind of didn't go back for a week.
Change schools?
She hasn't been in the water since. It's quite tragic.
Different name at roll call, comes back with shorter hair or something. Oh, brand new student here.
Pretty much.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that would have been a school carnival to remember, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
At least I can laugh about it now, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you still a bit nervous about going in the water these days, or you've overcome that fear now?
I won't wear bikinis ever again.
No, yeah, stick with the one piece. Shorts. Yeah, the one piece, for sure.
I've got to laugh for a bikini.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Great story, Melinda. Thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.
See ya. Yeah, that was one thing I was always paranoid about anytime you had to do swimming for, like,
bungee smugglers.
Biz Ed. Yeah. I would, like, double knot. I would do my togs up so tight that it would cut off circulation to my legs because I was worried about jumping in the pool and I'd be off doing a lap and my boardies would just be floating in the water behind me.
Who wore short shorts? Brad wears short shorts. The only thing more embarrassing than doing that as a kid is probably as an adult. We've had another comment on Facebook from Kim. Said she answered the door to the postman immediately after breastfeeding her newborn, somehow not realising her boob was still out. He never said anything until she realised when she got her parcel and went back inside, and she realised she was basically all up in his grill with one of her loose fun bags.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And you might throw your hands in the air and wave them around like you just don't care, but when it comes to taking planes in the air, you can't just fly them around like you just don't care.
No.
When the time comes for everybody to jump in a plane and fly off to their holiday destinations again, Hutsy, we could experience a lag. There's trouble with our pilots.
There are thousands of Australian pilots who are effectively disqualified from flying because they've not been able to complete the number of takeoffs and landings or hours in the air mandated by law.
My last flight was at the end of February, so I can't just go and get in the aeroplane. No, that would be unlawful.
Yeah, that's pilot Brad Hodson there. I didn't know this was a thing.
Neither did I. It sort of sounds like when you've been on your L plates for a couple of years and they lapse and then you have to do it all again. What, are we going to see, like, L plates on the planes?
On the back of a Qantas Boeing jet or something like that. Crazy stuff. I would have thought flying a plane is just like riding a bike, except you're thousands of feet in the air and you're dinking hundreds of strangers. But apart from that, it's just the same as riding a bike, I assume. Yeah. So what they're saying is that when the time comes, we could see a high demand for pilots who have kept up their hours somehow. I don't know if flight simulator counts. I imagine you have to have some practical behind the joystick experience with flying a plane. Yeah. So, the tourism industry is already hurting enough. It'll, you know, be hurting even more if we can't get planes back in the air when the time comes.
Yeah, that flight simulator game's been going great guns recently. There's been lots of people that have been trialling that. So maybe they've known about this on the inside before it's been announced.
They might have to ease restrictions. It's like, well, I see you have like 120 hours on Microsoft Flight Simulator. Jump behind the wheel of this 747. Enough. It's fine. I imagine even the pilot off the Flight Center ads might even get the call up. It's like, no, I'm just the dude on the ad.
You're dressed. You're ready to go. You're already halfway there, buddy.
He actually is a pilot. I discovered this. The guy they get for those ads is a real pilot, but I'm like, well, if he can't keep his hours up, is he allowed to wear that uniform and pretend to be a pilot on the ads anymore, or are they have to just yoink him off the ads?
Is he the right person to tell people to go on, you know, trips for places when he can't even fly? It's like, oh, you can go on a job, but I can't fly you there.
Autopilot. I mean, it's all in the name of safety in the end. They want to make sure these people maintain their skills. And I'm thinking, okay, well, if pilots who have the lives of many, many people in their hands every day on their job, if they have to maintain those skills, then what about those other professions that you put your life into their hands?
Absolutely.
You know, surgeons.
Oh,
I want to make sure my surgeon is keeping their skills up. Not just, you know, playing operation with their friends.
Like, that's exactly right.
I didn't get one buzz, so I'm ready to do open heart surgery. You know, I want to make sure they have a lot of hours in theatre recently. And I suppose the other one would be hairdressers.
Of course.
It's not so much putting my life in their hands, more my haircut in their hands. I don't want to go in and find out they haven't maintained their hours. The last haircut they did was when Friends was still on TV, so I go into the hairdresser. I come out with the Rachel because they haven't kept up with the latest styles. I don't want that.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Let's talk about sitting.
Let's sit down for a bit.
One of our favourite pastimes, Hutsy.
People don't think I actually have legs because I'm always sitting.
You're always in the seated position?
Yeah, like a robot.
Whenever you go camping, it can be a bit tough, though, to find a comfortable place to sit.
Oh, yeah.
And sitting on the hard ground, you end up with pins and needles, or your bum goes to sleep, and you have to get someone to massage it for you to resuscitate it. It's either that or drag a smoky Dawson chair into the bush. These are just not good options. But one Maria-based designer has come up with a camping chair, which has actually scored a design award.
Perfect life hack.
Exactly. It's the R Chair. To find out more about it, we're joined by the creator and award winner, Andrew Scully. Morning, Andrew.
G'day, Brad. How you going?
Yeah, we're well. How did you come up with this whole concept? I imagine you love camping and you have had those experiences of having to sit on the cold, wet ground, things like that.
Exactly. I love your intro. It was a bit like that. We were doing a lot of training to do the Larapinta Trail in Central Australia. We were walking around the national parks around here and I was getting a sore back and I was leaning up against this rock and it wasn't very comfortable and I was thinking, oh, there's got to be another way.
Yeah.
So I just came up with this very simple idea and I made a few and I gave a few to friends and family. Yeah, everyone said that they were great. I just kept making them and got the website going, started selling at the markets and put it in the competition and it's, yeah, fantastic to win that award.
How many years did it take to hone the design? Did you go through lots of prototypes before you settled on the perfect design?
No, not that many, because it's so simple. It's just a strap and your back is supported by your feet. This sort of design has been used by nomadic tribes over the years.
Oh, okay.
Just a simple strap.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about it. It is so lightweight and obviously it's comfortable because it's named after the same noise I make when I sit down on a chair.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you.
And it's great to see it's locally produced as well, Andrew. I mean, what sort of challenges have you faced with getting a product like this out in terms of putting it together, shipping it to different locations, things like that?
I'm glad you asked me that because Marie's just been so supportive. It's been fantastic. I've got a great seamstress, Rhonda, who does my sewing for me. Marie and Markets have been really good. The ladies, of course, at the post office, they're legends, you know. So Pippa at Aussie Embroidery, she's done the logo. Steph Sewing, 3D Sales, and Gundary Bakers, they do these awesome picnic baskets, and they're going to do some picnic shots for me.
Awesome.
On location.
Yeah, it sounds like you got the whole town involved, Andrew, and obviously the hard work has paid off because you won the Product Design Sport and Lifestyle category at the Good Design Awards, so that must have been a very proud moment for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's a great honour. It just really helps to legitimise the product and it just helps reassure people that it works and Maria's the world first for this product. You can't buy one anywhere else.
Hmm. And what's next for the R Chair, Andrew? Are you planning to maybe add some drink holders? I mean, you've got to keep it pretty lightweight. Planning any big changes to the design down the track?
Drink holders would be handy, but no, I'm just going to keep it nice and minimalist, keep it light and portable. We just want to promote its versatility. So although it's designed for hiking, it's also really good for picnics and going to the beach. And it's good for sitting up in bed when you want to read or have a cup of tea in bed.
And for the younger kids, it'll be great at school assemblies, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to worry about sitting on the cold, hard floor. You'll be like, no worries, guys. I'll see you
trying
guys.
To turn your school jumper into an ass pillow, as you did.
Take your time with the assembly. I've got all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids do like it. I work at a childcare centre and the kids there, they like when I get out the R Chair.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, if people can't make it to Maria Markets, they can check out the R Chair and maybe order one for themselves at rchair.com.au. And once again, congratulations on the award, Andrew. And, we wish you all the success with the future when it comes to your product. Well done.
Fantastic. Well, thanks a lot, guys, for having me on.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Politics, not something I usually get involved with because I know zero about politics. As much as I know, probably the limit is you get a free pencil when you vote.
Yeah.
That's about as much as I know, and you've got to tick a box.
But not knowing much about politics, you shouldn't let that stop you. It hasn't stopped guys like Donald Trump and Clive Palmer and many others.
Yeah. And recently we copped our election in the Eden Monaro one. Christy McBain came out on top. So we basically had a bit of a Simpsons link because, you know, there's that famous McBain character on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And it looks like now the Canberra election, which is set to take place next month, has also got their very own connection to The Simpsons. I found this to be quite hilarious because when the campaigning starts, let's be honest, you see the ads on TV, the flyers come out in the mailbox, and then you get those signs on people's lawns. I don't know how much they pay some of these people to have the signs on their lawns and everything.
No, I think there's people that are just really into politics. And they because we used to know someone that was like a big Labor supporter. And whenever there were the local elections, they would happily stick. Yeah. For them, it's like they're instead of putting a footy scarf on and going to the finals, this is their political finals. And they're like, yeah, got to show your support for the team.
Yeah, and it looks like someone in Canberra has just had enough of all the signs that are going up of all the candidates from the different parties and everything. So they've decided to put their own up. And this is absolutely hilarious. So we don't know who this person is that's putting these up at this stage, but it involves the TV show The Simpsons. And basically it's endorsing Homer as a candidate for... for the election coming up in Canberra.
The Homer Simpson.
The Homer Simpson. And when it comes to basically his party name, well, it involves this guy from The Simpsons.
Idly ho, neighborinos.
Okay.
Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
So basically there's a big sign that's got Homer Simpson, vote number one for this guy, head of the We Hate Stupid Flanders Party.
That's great.
That's fantastic. It's definitely something that would get me interested in politics, even for just a couple of minutes or so.
It'd probably take a while for people to notice the signs, though.
It probably
because
would.
You'd be that used to it,
oh,
especially in Canberra.
It wouldn't stand
you
out.
You drive past and you're like, oh, there's another fat, bald idiot.
In a suit.
Running for election again. And then you do a yeah. double take. Oh, hang on. That's actually Homer.
People are loving this online, though. People are commenting. One person saying, if this is for real, I'm moving to Canberra just to vote. One person is saying, another wrote, don't blame me, I voted for Kodos.
Nice.
But the best one is a third person pointed out brilliantly that I don't know when this guy was elected sanitation commissioner for another town, Springfield, I think it was called.
Mm.
I think he blew the entire year's budget within a month.
Yeah.
So obviously a few question marks are coming up.
Get put in charge of the portfolio for safety because his track record as a safety inspector hasn't been the best.
As long as people know this isn't legitimate, because I'm getting a little bit worried. There has been parties in the past in Canberra, such ones as these ones, like the Sun Ripened Warm Tomato Party was one. The Party 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 Party. Hard to say. The Pajama Party and the Abolish Self-Government Party and the Surprise Party are other parties which have been involved over the years.
I'm still waiting for the Barty Party.
Yeah.
Ash Barty to launch her own political party. How about for the Barty Party?
Give it time. But either way, obviously, they're telling people, you know, that to take this with a grain of salt. It's not a real actual party. And they're also telling people to not vote like Homer Simpson does, a little bit like this.
Hello, I'd like to vote for president, governor, and anything that will take money away from our parks and libraries.
Yeah, maybe don't do that.
A little too honest there.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.